You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
On a Monday, we normally speak to David Shapiro with Shapiro World, but because he was travelling back from New York to South Africa, to Johannesburg, to Melrose Arch, we've had to postpone it until today, but it's worth waiting for. Shapiro World is, of course, populated by David Shapiro from SASFIN, and this podcast is proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Chris Gilmore stood in for you on Monday, actually, David.
Carl Actress.
Yeah, and he was very, very erudite and very, very forthright, and in many ways had similar sentiments to you. He's been trying to sell his house for quite a while, and with no buyers at the correct price. And I just suddenly thought about that's sort of symptomatic of the South African malaise. You've just been in New York. How do you feel when you come back from New York to Johannesburg?
You know, the first thing that always strikes me, it's funny. The one thing that strikes me is the litter and the filth and the disorganization. It strikes you, you know, you can't believe it when you're driving back from the airport and you go through one or two suburbs and you just see on the side of the road. Yes, there are areas in New York where I'm sure there's a little bit of litter around, with so many tourists, they always leave one or two papers. But generally, if you walk through Fifth Avenue, or you walk through any of the major boulevards or streets or avenues, and that, they're spotless, as is Central Park. There's no litter. People, they do not, you know, and they also follow the laws. You know, you drive through there, you cross the road, motorist stops, not like here. So I think there's a complete difference. You know, we're at different ends of the spectrum, and I think you find that in most when I say developed, places around the world. If you went to Germany, you'd find the same. Even the UK, to a large extent, is very neat, and I would imagine you're finding the same where you are as well. Yeah. You know, people respect the law, and they really respect their environment. It infuriates me. You know, absolutely infuriates me. And coming back as well, you notice how many traffic lights or robots are out of order here, and on the grid in New York, nothing. Everything works. So those are the first things that hit you. I must say something. I came home on SAA, and I've been traveling I've traveled a lot to see children from Australia, go to America. I also went to, you know, the UK to watch soccer and that stuff. I've used a number of different airlines, and when I went to New York this time, I went through Lufthansa. I came back on SAA, and the people on the plane were great. I'm not complaining about the levels of service but generally the way they're 10 years behind. The entertainment systems, the way they serve dinner, the menus, things like that are way, way behind the competition. And also the planes are very old.
You notice it. Were you on a 747 or one of those Airbus A340s?
The A340.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you say you can't be globally competitive. Yes, they might be monopolistic and, you know, have a monopoly on that line. But I think people will choose other routes. You know, they go via Frankfurt. Yes, it takes a few more hours, but it's a lot cheaper. Or they might go UK or Air France or any of those instead of the direct route. But I just found generally you know, there wasn't any glamour. It was almost like catching the old clippies, you know, the buses and the conductors on the bus. It was the same kind of feeling.
But you're quite right.
I'm saying this out of sympathy, and it's not a criticism. I'm saying to you, you know what? They've got to upgrade or sell out. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's going to take a lot of money for them to meet the standards that are being presented, particularly by the Middle Eastern airlines or even Turkey and places like that.
Turkish Airlines, Etihad, Qatar Airways. Streets ahead, even of British Airways. Totally. I mean, British Airways I've recently flown on, and they're also behind. But South African Airways, you're quite right. But you're also right, the pilots and the maintenance staff on the ground are really, really good indeed. They're world class, but it's just the management and the funding which has fallen behind, and it's a very sad state of affairs.
We had all, you know, whenever you go on a plane, you always think you're going to be served by some suave, you know, even if it's a male or some young person, whatever. And we had old tunnies there. They were great. I'm not complaining about the old tunnies, but, you know, you want to be tucked in by
Keep it clean, David.
Anyway, keep it clean.
just on the litter thing, I was living in Rotterdam a year ago in a particular suburb, and what they have is they have these installations in the road, very discreet-looking things, where you take your bag down, you open it up, and you drop it into an underground sort of bunker, so to speak.
Yes.
And it says, do not leave your bag next to this installation, which is just a metal, I don't know, whatever it is, installation, as I've said, that you open it up and you pop the thing in. Do not leave your litter next to this thing. And it was a weekend and there'd been a public holiday or something, and so there were a few bags there. And so I put my bag there because this thing was full already. The underground bunker was full. I put it there. Next day, I get a knock on the door. The local authorities had gone through the bag that I'd left there, found my address.
You've got to be kidding.
I'd thrown an envelope away, and they found out that this was my house, which was just literally 20 yards away. They knocked on the door, and they fined me €150. That's how seriously they take it. They fined me €150 for leaving my very neatly tied bag of trash next to the facility. Because the thing was full and it was my fault. I should have just kept it in the house until it was emptied. But they take it very seriously, and the streets are spotless. And it makes you feel good when the streets are spotless, David.
It does. You know, it comes back to the same theme that I push, that we've got to start thinking about, rebuilding from the bottom. And those are the kind of things that make people feel better about their country.
Yes.
And make people feel better about living here or wanting to live here. So I think it's a very important subject that one discusses. I know it's brushed aside as a non-event, but you find it the way that people drive as well, the care of kids, the care of skids. The one thing you don't do, and I've seen this in Australia as well, you never misbehave. I'm talking driving within, 100 meters or 50 meters of a school.
Right.
You never, because they've got wardens there that will lock you up for life. If you don't obey traffic as well, so you've got to be very careful. And the one thing I noticed in New York, even though the people were on holiday as well, within schools or where their groups, the kids, they always have a traffic warden there, to make sure that they cross the road safely and so on.
Yes.
So I think it's going down to that low level or that level that makes people feel much more confident about living or much happier to live in an environment.
I was crossing the road close to the Cape Town International Convention Centre, and I was with an Australian I was with an Australian delegate, and it was around about 7 o'clock at night, and I was escorting her to the conference, and there were no cars around. There was nothing. The roads were empty. 7 o'clock at night, the rush hour was over, and I walked across the road when the little red man was there rather than the little green man. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, she said, no, you're not, you stay here." And she was very forceful, because she said, in Australia, if you'd have done that, you would have been fined. No. You would have been arrested.
You don't do that. I have a similar situation where early one morning I was completing a run on Bondi Beach. Just, it's a double-laned highway. Well, not double-laned road or avenue there. And it was early Sunday morning. There weren't any cars in sight. And what happened as I started to cross, I was just finishing off a run. And from behind me was an ex-South African woman who was riding. She said, "Shapiro, hey." So I turned around horrified. She said, "You don't do that. You're not in Joburg." And I thought she was joking. I thought she was absolutely kidding. And I started to cross again, and she screamed. She said, "You don't do that." In other words, just wait. And I promise you, there wasn't a car within sight. I was perspiring, not that a minute's going to mean a lot to me or anything while the lights change, but that's the attitude. You do not do that.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, that's a nanny state gone mad. But on the other hand, there's something between that and the South African situation. There must be some kind of common ground where they meet in the middle, and there's some kind of flexibility. But at the same time, the lawlessness when it comes to littering and all sorts of other things, driving, etc., robots being out, is unacceptable in South Africa. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testifies in front of the House Financial Services Committee today. Yeah. And in prepared remarks to the committee, Powell testifies that cross currents from weaker economic activity across the globe and lingering trade fears are dampening the US economic outlook.
Yeah.
As a result, the S&P 500 has gone up because what it's saying is, I'm going to cut rates. And the reason I'm cutting rates is because of trade wars, because of Mr. Trump. And so Mr. Trump inadvertently has caused the interest rate cuts that he so dearly wants because he's so much in debt.
He's actually testifying now as we talk.
Yes.
He's in front of the House at the moment. And I'm just looking at the headlines rather than listening to what he's saying. And I think the big worry is that they're starting to see, as you've mentioned, deterioration in certain economic factors, which is worrying him. You know, whether it's housing, I don't know, the consumption side. Baseline outlook sees solid growth with strong labor market, he says. But you've seen inflation also coming down to worryingly low levels. And I think the move to lower interest rates is to hope that people will start spending simply because they can, and I think particularly on housing. I don't like it. I must be honest. You know, yes, the S&P has crossed 3,000. It's at probably intraday highs, and I'm not sure where it's going to end. Mm. But when it's a very difficult type of environment to recommend going into equities, you know, when interest rates are coming down, when the reason that people are buying or the market's going up is because the Fed's going to lower rates. You might be projecting it forward and saying, okay, well, that will lead to more spending, that will lead to higher profits and that. But I'm not sure that you want to be doing that. You know, I'm still uncertain. I'm still got quite a bit of money on the sides that I'm not quite prepared to commit until those factors start to turn, you know, and until you see it coming through in the economy. Maybe it's too late, I don't know. But I've got sufficient firepower. What I mean, you know, we're sufficiently exposed already to benefit if that does happen. So I, you know, Lindsay, I like where we are. I like green on the screens, etc. But I'm not sure that, you know, I'm jumping up and down in celebration and shoving a lot of market and, you know, a lot of money at it. I far prefer it when companies are earning more profits and you know, people feel better about where we are at the moment. So I think the whole central bank reducing rates and that, it's difficult to get a grasp of it and to position yourself.
Go to sharenet.co.za or to strictlybusinesspodcast.com and go to an interview I conducted yesterday with Jim Rogers from Singapore.
He's still around. He's a gold bull of note.
He says he's never sold gold. He says he wants it to come. He thinks it's going to come down to below $1,000 an ounce because of the crash that he sees coming, which as he says in his southern drawl, it's going to be the worst in our lifetime, Lindsay. And he's absolutely certain about this, but he's been banging on about the same thing for many, many years.
I'll tell you how many years. Is it 10 or more? Because I listened to him. And I remember him giving a talk about how he's teaching his children Mandarin.
That's right. You know, he mentions that as well. I said, why did you leave New York? And he says he wants his kids to learn Mandarin. And he goes on. It's a lovely interview. But you can't help but love him. He's so charismatic.
I know he is. And listen, he's a smart man. I'm not taking anything away. But I think sometimes those characters, you know, as what they say, they've called the they've called the last 10 out of the, they've called 10 of the last two recessions, you know.
Yes. Very good.
You know, they're all, that's not mine. I've stolen that one. So, you know, it's a well-known quote, but I mean, it's the case, these chaps, you know, and eventually one day they'll call it right and everybody will claim them. You know, he called the so-and-so recession correctly and he suddenly becomes a household hero. But we forget about how wrong they have been, even in gold. You know, gold shares again, Lindsay, today on the Powell statement. You know, gold is going up, treasuries are.
Well, gold's up about $15 since the low this morning, and we've got Goldfields and Harmony. It's two of the top performers in the JSE at the moment. And I know you don't like gold, but you can't ignore it. People are having fun with this gold bull market.
They are. Listen, it's for trading. I don't. You know, I've never liked gold as an investment. Simply, you don't get anything out of it. And for once, it's got a bit of life in it. The JSE was built on gold, but gold shares as well, I think, have outrun the actual underlying gold price in that. If you compare the two, so you know that I can't, and even platinum shares as well have completely outrun the underlying metal prices.
You're biased against gold. You're biased against gold, David Shirley. It's psychological with you, because the first order you ever had to fill as a broker on the JSE on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange was in Lorraine, and you got it completely wrong. So you've hated gold ever since.
I had to buy 1,000, and I bought 10,000.
Father was furious.
Forty cents. They were. That was the 400 rand order. That was it. In those days, it was big. I mean, it was big enough. I still, you know which broker it came from? Is a company called William DeBro, which is still, I think, Investec own William DeBro today in London.
Oh, really? Anything you're doing at the moment? Any fresh ideas coming back from
New
York?
There are a couple of ideas. There are a couple of things I saw. I don't know if I mentioned it to you in our conversation. And that I was very impressed by, I saw a lot of changes in retail there. But the one thing that impressed me, and I can't remember if we spoke about it, was the Starbucks, the new Starbucks
there
down in
Chelsea. You sent me pictures of this extraordinary mega store.
I saw that. I was absolutely fascinated by it because, you know, Starbucks you would associate with the corner cafe, you know, corner cafe. Mm. In other words, we walk in coffee, people get free Wi-Fi there, and they're pretty run down. You know, there's nothing glamorous about Starbucks. It's got the same kind of decor all the way. The best thing is you get free Wi-Fi and there's always a toilet there. But this was a concept store called Starbucks Reserve, which was down in Chelsea, which is, you know, the very low number of streets there, the 20s and the 30s and that. Yeah. And there's a very popular area being developed there called Hudson Yard, and it attracts a lot of youngsters. It's now attracting a lot of tourists in there. And they've got a Starbucks store that is the size of a warehouse. It's massive. And it was absolutely packed. And they sell a lot of products there. They've also got a bar area. Something that's very popular there is this nitro beers and nitro coffee. I'm not sure what the contents are. I don't particularly like it, but it's a huge, huge store. And with masses of people that go in there, they've got very much the same kind of offering, you know, other than it's just an attractive place to be. And apparently when I did tweet the pictures there, I got a response that there's a similar one in Milan. So I would imagine they're going to do this throughout the world, have one big area where you get populous. You know, you've got to have the people.
So it's not just coffee?
No. There's there are derivations of coffee. There's a better menu, a little bit much more offering there and that. But very attractive and become a kind of destination. Once you get drinks there, there's a special area as well. So it's hard to explain how they conceived this, but it's growing in population and with the kind of tourists that you get. In New York, it just seems to be a place where, after walking the High Line, is what would they call? It was an old elevated
railway
trains,
line.
Railway line, elevated train, which they've now turned into a walk, and also a wonderful concept with gardens all around and literally millions of people. So I think you've got to have that kind of attraction, and this is at one end of it, where people go and just refresh themselves. But that struck me as very innovative. And just having a look at, this is, I don't know whether this is still Howard Schultz or whether this is new management, but complete shift away from the old Starbucks stores. That struck me as well as, the luxury side of it as well. And also a couple of brands that are, the other two that I must mention is that there are two Japanese stores. Now, you might see this in where you are now, where you're Rotterdam.
I don't know.
I've seen it in London. It's a Japanese company called Muji, M-U-J-I.
No.
And you've got Uniqlo there, which is a well-known clothing company.
Yes.
But Muji sells stationery. They sell, but in Japanese design, which is very clean lines, stationery, because the Japanese are very clean and everything's stored properly.
Yes.
It's kitchenware, stationery, and kind of a limited range of clothing and that. So these are two brands which I've seen expanding heavily in New York, Uniqlo and Muji, and certainly seen them in London. But very big concept stores. And when you put something up on Madison Avenue or Lexington or something, you spend a lot of money. So those are two brands that I've seen that are expanding quite rapidly in the US, or certainly in New York.
Well, they are in the United Kingdom, Germany, Spain, Italy, and France, not in the Netherlands, but I will have a look at
that. There are.
They've got an online store. Just tell me about prices, because you always used to say to me you would buy Cole Haan shoes and Hugo Boss shirts for not a fraction, but certainly cheaper than Johannesburg. Have the prices still remained fairly moderate?
Absolutely. Clothing, you can pick up for nothing. And really, when they offload this. But I have to tell you about Broadway. I went to Broadway and we were sitting in the show. It was pretty hot and I was sweltering, and went up to the bar at the end there just to get a cool drink, and ended up with a vodka and a little, the only thing we could mix in there was soda. And the Americans, when they give you a glass, it's plastic. They fill three quarters of it with ice, shot of vodka, a little bit of, soda water, etc. And I had a small packet of M&M's. So I had two vodkas and sodas, two M&M packets, and I took out a $20 note, $48.
No, you see,
with a $2, $50.
Absurd.
This was in the theater, and I just stuck there. You can't say no. I couldn't give it back to them. $50, you work that out. Yes, the rand has improved. It's 14.08 at the moment. But that's what I paid in the theater for two vodkas and sodas. I promised you $50 times.
That's 800 rand.
702 rand.
you're gonna have to pick a JSE stock to make up for that ridiculous consumption. David Shapiro, thank you very much for your time. Welcome back. David Shapiro is from Sasserin in Johannesburg, and Shapiro World will be back at its normal time on Monday. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.